On Tatooine, a caped figure walks up to Fennec's body lying crumpled at the base of a rocky outcropping. Seen from only knee high, the figure starts to kneel down to her. Text appears. Previously on The Mandalorian. On Corvus, Mando defends himself against Ahsoka.
Bo-Katan sent me to talk to you.
I hope it's about him.
The child blinks at her curiously.
Grogu and I can feel each other's thoughts.
Grogu?
Yes. That's his name.
I've been quested to bring him to his kind. I must deliver him to a Jedi.
Go to the planet Tython. There you will find the ancient ruins of a temple that has a strong connection to the Force. Place Grogu on the Seeing Stone at the top of the mountain. If he reaches out through the Force, there's a chance a Jedi may sense his presence and come searching for him.
Moff Gideon's Imperial light cruiser cuts through the blackness of space. A communications officer joins him in a large bay.
Moff Gideon.
In a fog of smoke, he slowly turns to face her.
The tracking beacon has been installed on the Razor Crest.
Does he still have the asset?
Our source confirmed it.
A smile creeps over his mustached face. He turns back toward a row of shadowy cubicles, each containing a figure in shiny black metal armor. In space, the Razor Crest cruises through the starry void toward a planet. On board, Grogu sits in his jump seat, playing with the chrome shifter knob.
Grogu.
He looks up. He looks back down at the shiny ball.
Grogu?
He looks again at the Mandalorian in his pilot seat.
Give me the ball. Grogu. Give me the ball. Come on.
Grogu hands him the shifter knob, and Mando holds it away from him, pinched between his thumb and index finger.
Okay, here we go. You can have it, just like before.
The child reaches out with one of his tiny clawed hands.
Grogu, come on. You can have it.
He reaches out both hands, his ears sloped low.
Come on.
Closing his eyes, he uses the Force to draw the knob back into his clutches.
God dang Ferrick!
He lets go of it.
Hey, no, I'm not mad at you. You did good. When the nice lady said you had training,
Grogu gazes up at him affectionately. Mando picks the knob up off his lap and puts it back in his hands.
You're very special, kid. We're gonna find that place you belong. And they're gonna take real good care of you.
He flips some controls and eyes his navigation chart.
This is Tython. That's where we're gonna try and find you a Jedi. But you have to agree to go with them if they want you to. Understand? Plus, I can't train you. You're too powerful. Don't you want to learn more of that Jedi stuff? I agreed to take you back to your own kind, so that's what I need to do. You understand, right?
A title appears over black, The Mandalorian. Chapter 14, The Tragedy. Back in space, the Razor Crest makes its approach toward the Earth-like planet of Tython. It descends into the cloudy atmosphere. Cruising in low, it swoops over a misty range of hills. On board, the Mandalorian checks his charts, which show a gridded display of the planet. Looking out his windshield, he sees a large henge of stones crowning a hilltop.
Looks like that's the magic rock I'm supposed to take you to down there.
He does a flyby of the ancient temple. Arranged in a circle, the six triangular rock slabs all point upward at an inwardly slanted angle. The child gets a good glimpse of them through a tiny window pane at the back of the cockpit.
Sorry, buddy, I can't land on the top. Too small. Looks like we're gonna have to travel the last stretch with the windows down.
Now, Grogu's ears flap in the wind as the Mandalorian flies in with his jetpack. They approach the circular ruins at the top of the hill. The Mandalorian smoothly descends into a controlled landing. At the center of the henge sits a single round stone. The Mandalorian carries the child through overgrown scrub brush toward the ancient array of eroded monoliths. A closer view reveals the center stone resting inside a sunken circle.
Well, I guess this is it.
He continues inside the perimeter to its central recess. Pausing, he gazes around at the area.
Does this look Jedi to you?
He carries Grogu right up in front of the rounded seeing stone.
I guess you sit right here.
He sets the child on top. Grogu looks up and down quizzically, his black eyes blinking.
Okay, here we go. This is the seeing stone. Are you seeing anything? Or are they supposed to see you?
The Mandalorian touches the side of his helmet.
Maybe there's some kind of control or something.
His Mandovision shows glowing splotches on the seeing stone. He walks around it, examining carvings and cracks along its smoothly rounded surface. As a blue insect resembling a butterfly flutters around him, Grogu playfully reaches out for it.
Oh, come on, kid. Ahsoka told me all I had to do was get you here and you'd do the rest.
The child cocks his head to one side. Mando looks up into the sky. Through the rock slabs, he sees Slave One flying over. He takes off, running through the weeds to track the ship. Grogu looks down and rests one hand atop the stone. Resembling a clothing iron with a flat backside and a handle-shaped nose, the elliptical ship cruises down into the dry foothills. The Mandalorian watches it drift out of view as it pivots into its horizontal landing position. He backpedals toward the seeing stone.
Time's up, kid. We gotta get out of here.
He sees the child in a trance with a ring of carvings around the rock aglow with energy.
We don't have time for this. We gotta get...
As he reaches for Grogu, a supernatural force sends the Mandalorian tumbling onto his back.
Hey, snap out of it, kid. We gotta get out of here.
The child sits encased inside a column of energy with his eyes closed. The rippling force floats upward toward the sky. Retreating from the child, the Mandalorian turns and touches his helmet again. His Mandovision shows a single life form exiting Slave One down at the bottom of the hill. He draws his blaster out of its holster.
I'll see if I can buy you some time. Can you please hurry up?
The Mandalorian runs stealthily down the hillside, hopping from boulder to boulder. Keeping low among the scrub brush, he traverses the slope with his pistol held out in front of him. A staccato burst of blaster fire strikes the path in front of him, cutting him off. He instinctively takes cover behind a rock and pauses a few moments before venturing a look around the other side.
I've been tracking you, Mandalorian.
A robed figure steps forth in silhouette, his face concealed beneath a hood. His pistol at the ready, the Mandalorian slowly rises to his feet and steps out from concealment.
Are you Jedi? Or are you after the child?
Wearing a Tusken cycler rifle and gaffy stick slung across his back, the mysterious figure pulls down his dark hood to uncover his face. It's a middle-aged Boba Fett, his head shaved and his skin mottled with scars.
I'm here for the armor.
If you want my armor, you'll have to peel it off my dead body.
I don't want your armor. I want my armor. That you got from Cobb Vanth back on Tatooine. It belongs to me.
Are you Mandalorian?
I'm a simple man making his way through the galaxy. Like my father before me.
Did you take the creed?
I give my allegiance to no one.
The Beskar belongs to the Mandalorians. It was looted from us during the Purge.
The armor was my father's. Now it's mine.
What's to stop me from dropping you right where you stand?
Because I have a sharpshooter up on that ridge with a lock scope that will unload by the time my body hits the ground.
I'm the one wearing Beskar. As soon as I see that muzzle flash, you're both dead.
I didn't mean she was going to shoot you. My friend's locked on to that little companion of yours up on the henge.
And if you remember, I don't miss.
Fennec?
You have a keen ear, Mando.
He looks up at Fennec on a ledge, her rifle aimed toward the henge.
You point that gun away from the kid, or I'll drop you both where you stand.
He arms his whistling birds.
Let's all put down our weapons. Have a chat. There's no need for bloodshed.
Tell her to drop the gun.
After you put down the jetpack.
Same time.
Stand down.
Fennec moves off from the ledge and Mando disengages his whistling birds. Boba unslings the cycler rifle from his back. Eyeing him warily, Mando holsters his blaster, removes his jetpack, and sets it down against the rock. Fennec comes down the hill with her helmet removed. She moves to Boba's side, and they both stare at Mando.
You look like you've just seen a ghost.
You were dead.
She was left for dead on the sands of Tatooine, as was I. But fate sometimes steps in to rescue the wretched.
In my case, Boba Fett was that fate.
She shows cybernetics inside her abdomen.
And I am now in his service.
I want my armor back.
It goes against the Mandalorian creed.
The armor was given to my father, Jango, by your forebears. In exchange, I guarantee the safety of the child, as well as your own.
The bounty on your little friend has risen significantly. You can buy 10 suits of armor for the price on its head.
I'd say we're offering a fair deal under the circumstances.
The Mandalorian looks up to see a windowless transport ship swooping overhead. He takes off running uphill. Fennec quickly puts on her helmet and splits off with Boba. The bounty hunter duo make their way down the slope through the thick brush while the transport settles in for a landing beside the Razor Crest. On the hilltop, the ray of energy streaks into the sky from the Seeing Stone with Grogu seated at its center.
Time to go, kid!
Mando stops short as he sees him surrounded by the wisps of light. He fights his way through the energy field. Bent over against the opposing force, he reaches in through the rays of light to grab the child. Once again, he's repulsed backward to several meters away. Grogu remains oblivious in his trance-like state. Meanwhile, Fennec moves furtively down the hillside with Boba close behind. She centers the scope of her sniper rifle on the transport below. Taking position behind a boulder, Boba aims his Tusken Cycler as well. They watch as a ramp opens from the transport and stormtroopers pour out. The bounty hunter starts sniping them, but their numbers continue to grow, pressing in on their position. A stormtrooper with an orange pauldron gestures a command. Boba communicates with Fennec using hand signals. She nods and he skulks off down the hillside. Fennec's shots take out a couple more of the advancing troopers, but they continue to encroach upon her position. Some of them find cover to return fire, keeping her pinned down.
Right, left, it's on the bar.
Sir, there's too much fire.
Fight them, you idiot.
The reluctant trooper instantly gets killed.
Up top. Get up there.
The commander leads an advance. Elsewhere, Boba lies in wait behind a boulder, wielding the gaffy stick. Stepping out, he heaves it in a circular motion and drives the pointed owl at its curved end into the helmet of an unsuspecting stormtrooper. As others open fire, he ducks back behind the boulder. Skulking through the rocks, he picks off more stormtroopers one by one. Both ends of the gaffy stick pierce through the trooper's white armor and helmets as he delivers his lethal blows. He spots one of his victims floundering on his hands and knees. Dragging the heavy, curved end of his stick across the ground, he makes his way over, then swings and shatters the trooper's helmet like a piñata. Boba turns and moves off, leaving his victim splayed on the ground. More troopers continue to pour out of the transport, guns ablazing. Fennec snipes at them, but is soon pinned down again. Meanwhile, the commander's squad advances on her position. A yellow-striped mortar trooper launches a projectile at her. The explosive overshoots its mark, but just barely. In the middle of the firefight, two other troopers mount a heavy repeating blaster on a tripod. Another mortar explosion shakes the boulder Fennec is concealed behind. The stormtrooper commander fires another salvo. Looking through her scope, Fennec sees the heavy repeating blaster pointing right at her and quickly dives for cover as it starts to unload. She sprints across the boulders, the blasts just barely skirting her footsteps. Leaping from one rock to the next, she moves out of range of the artillery fire. She returns a few shots of her own, but to no effect, as the laser blasts continue to pepper a boulder she's hiding behind. Another mortar shell loosens it from its perch. Fennec plants her boots on it and pushes hard against the rocks behind her. She kicks the boulder loose. It tumbles down the hillside, obliterating a number of hapless troopers who find themselves in its path. The gunner manning the heavy repeating blaster tries to shoot it to pieces, but it barrels him straight over in a fiery explosion. The commander ducks from the rocky shrapnel. A gaffy stick taps him on the shoulder. As he wheels around with his blaster, he's quickly disarmed by Boba, who takes down trooper after trooper in a frenzy of strategic strikes. He grabs the commander underneath the helmet, hurls him onto his back, and drives the barbed end of his weapon through the man's chest. His blazing eyes turn toward the Razor Crest a short distance away, its side hatch lying open. Yanking his stick out of the dead trooper, he makes his way over. The remaining troopers close in on Fennec's position while she attempts to hold them off with sniper fire. Ferreted out of her cover, she goes on the move. As she leaps off a precipice, she spins around in midair and takes out a pesky trooper who's been gunning at her back. Landing in a barrel roll, she instantly goes back on the offensive and dispatches more of the enemy with precision. A second Imperial transport flies overhead. Fennec takes off her helmet and watches disheartenedly as it swoops in and lands beside the first. She flings her helmet at a couple of encroaching troopers and promptly opens fire again. Meanwhile, on the hilltop, as Mando recovers on the ground, he sees the child still in his trance inside the energy field. He turns his attention toward the battle downhill.
That's it, kid. We gotta get out of here.
Descending into the sunken circle once more, he trudges one step at a time against the force field surrounding the stone. Again, he's driven back by a shock of energy. Keeping his distance, he glances down the hill.
Okay, I'm gonna protect you. Just stay there. I'll be back soon.
Grogu remains deep in meditation with his eyes closed as the Mandalorian hikes swiftly down the hillside over the boulders. The energy field dissipates around the child. He groggily braces himself on the stone and lies down. Meanwhile, stormtrooper reinforcements rush in to combat Fennec. She picks a few of them off, but finds their numbers overwhelming.
Give yourself up! We don't want you. We want the child.
Mando's gauntlet lights up. Posed heroically on a rock, he fires his whistling birds and takes out all the nearest troopers.
Okay, let's move in.
He and Fennec take on the remaining forces.
This isn't looking good.
I've seen worse. You can get out of here. I owe you from last time.
We have a deal.
Absorbing laser blasts with his armor, he uses his body to shield his ally as they find themselves outflanked. The stormtroopers suddenly look up. An explosive charge drops to the ground in front of them. Explosions tear through their ranks. A figure drops in behind a stormtrooper who turns to see Boba Fett in his armor. The famed bounty hunter backhands him across the helmet, then shoots him down and starts picking off his squad mates. A blast to an incendiary box sends them flying through the air. He continues his assault with missiles from his gauntlet and shots from his pistol. As a few troopers get close, he takes them on hand to hand. Grabbing one in a headlock, he fires a missile point blank into his chest plate and sends him flying across the clearing. More projectiles launch from the top of his boot. Seeing two troopers ahead of them go down, five others abandon their advance and flee. Boba finishes off a final trooper with a no-look shot over his shoulder.
Back to the ship! Back to the ship!
The stormtroopers hastily run aboard their two Imperial transports. A few of them have to hop on the ramp with the ship already rising into the air. Closing up, the transports slowly pivot for takeoff. Boba Fett comes marching forward toward their position. The ship's thrusters glow as they take to the sky. Boba tilts the targeting stock on his helmet down in front of his visor and locks on one of the transports. Bending forward, he launches the big missile from the top of his jetpack and watches it streak through the sky and find its mark. The explosion from the first ship sends it crashing into the other one, and they both plummet from the sky. Boba looks over his shoulder at Mando as flames erupt from the mountain in front of him.
Nice shot.
I was aiming for the other one.
An energy blast shoots down from the sky. The three bounty hunters watch as it scores a direct hit on the Razor Crest, totally obliterating it. The Mandalorian rushes forward in shock. As fire and debris rain across the landing site, Fennec turns to Boba.
Better get to your ship.
He jets into the air. The Mandalorian stands frozen, staring at the fiery wreckage of his ship. As he looks up, his Mandovision shows the shape of a light cruiser far above.
The kid.
On the hilltop, Grogu sleeps atop the sleeping stone. On board the Imperial light cruiser.
Direct hit.
Have the dark troopers been engaged?
Momentarily.
Moff Gideon smiles and nods. Four black figures launch from a hatch in the ship. As they descend through the clouds, Mando and Fennec spot them from below. Self-propelled on jets, the mechanized troopers set course for the hilltop. Mando and Fennec race up the slope to intercept them. The dark troopers have triangular red glowing eyes, robotic joints, and grills for mouths. Fire shoots from jets located in the bottoms of their boots. Flipping their bodies around, they come in for a descent. The four black figures close in on the ring of stone monoliths, targeting a perimeter around the Seeing Stone. Their jet boots gently disengage as they land. Grogu remains fast asleep on the stone while Mando and Fennec scramble frantically up the hillside. The black-clad stormtrooper droids march in mechanically toward the sleeping child from all four directions, red lights glowing eerily from their eyes and chests. Grogu wakes up to the sight of the frightening troopers. One of them grabs him, and they all take off into the sky again, just as Mando arrives on the hilltop with Fennec. His POV zooms in on the child's panicked expression in the clutches of one of the dark troopers. Flying in a tight formation, the four black shapes begin to vanish among the clouds when Slave One flies in to intercept.
They've got the baby. Don't let them get away.
Affirmative. I have a lock.
Stop it. I don't want the child hurt.
Abort pursuit. Disengage.
Do not harm the child.
Copy. I'll do a loose follow. See where they're headed.
The dark troopers continue to climb in altitude. Fennec and the Mandalorian stare up from the hilltop as Slave One pursues them into the stratosphere. The glow of its thrusters diminishes among the wispy clouds. Sitting at the helm, Boba Fett watches as the clouds part to reveal the arrowhead shape of Moff Gideon's light Imperial cruiser. He leans forward in his seat.
They're back.
Who?
The Empire. They're back.
That can't be.
The Outer Rim is under the jurisdiction of the New Republic.
This isn't a spy dream. I can see the Imperial cruiser with my own eyes. Heading down.
Slave One arcs off course just beneath the much larger ship. As it heads back down, the Imperial light cruiser zips off into hyperspace. The image wipes away to reveal the Mandalorian picking through the smoldering crater where his ship had once been. He picks up a piece of the wreckage, then tosses it aside. Watching from a distance, Fennec glances at Boba. The Mandalorian paces back and forth, searching the carpet of ash. Finding something of interest, he bends down and plucks it out. It's the shifter knob. His T-shaped visor gazes at it in his gloved fingertips as they wipe away the ash. He tightens his grip on the chrome ball, then tucks it away in a pouch on his utility belt. Boba and Fennec keep their respectful distance, waiting patiently as he continues to scour the remains of the Razor Crest. He locates a long, thin rod in the debris and pulls it out to reveal the Spear of Pure Beskar. Boba watches him hold it up and examine its untarnished surface. The bald bounty hunter shifts his pensive gaze. Mando runs his gloves up and down the Beskar rod, then uses it as a walking staff as he hikes out of the crater and approaches his two allies. He holds up the spear, showing it to Boba.
This is all that survived.
Beskar. I want you to take a look at something.
He pulls up a hologram from his gauntlet.
My chain code has been encoded in this armor for 25 years. You see, this is me, Boba Fett. This is my father, Jango Fett.
Mando peers at the lineage tree.
Your father was a foundling.
Yes. He even fought in the Mandalorian Civil Wars.
Then that armor belongs to you.
I appreciate its return.
Then our deal is complete.
Not quite.
How so?
Be agreed. In exchange for the return of my armor, we will ensure the safety of the child.
The child's gone.
Until he is returned to you safely, we are in your debt.
The Mandalorian looks to Fennec, who nods. A view of the three of them standing together wipes away to reveal Slave One diving toward a planet with veins of lava. Emerging from clouds, it flies in its vertical configuration toward the isolated city on Navarro. Its wings tilt slightly on their single axle, but remain fixed as the ship pivots into horizontal landing position and touches down outside the gateway. Now, Mando holds the badge that the X-Wing pilot gave to Kara.
Cara Dune, Marshal of the New Republic.
He flicks it to her.
I heard rumors you might have gone legit.
I wouldn't go that far.
She sets it on her desk.
I need your help.
Name it.
I need you to locate someone in the prison registry.
See what I can do.
She calls up a series of mugshots on a screen.
Ex-Imperial sharpshooter, last name Mayfeld. Apprehended near the Delestri system on a derelict prison ship.
Miggs Mayfeld. Serving 50 years in the Carthon chop fields for springing a prisoner himself. Accessory to the death of a New Republic officer. Well, sounds like a real piece of work. What do you want with him?
I need to spring him to help me locate Moff Gideon's light cruiser.
You know how I feel about the Empire.
She eyes her badge.
But these stripes mean there are rules I need to follow.
They have the kid.
As Kara levels her gaze on him, a new image irises in of the Imperial light cruiser traveling through hyperspace. An icy glow dabbles the surface of the vessel from the swirling kaleidoscope. On the bridge, Moff Gideon stands in silhouette against the celestial light show. Turning away, he walks off past the holo table at the center of the chamber. A little later, two stormtroopers follow at his heels as he marches purposefully up a corridor, a set of doors sliding shut behind them after they pass through. They round a corner into another hallway where a trooper stands at attention as they walk by. Gideon approaches a cell door with two guards posted out front. He enters a combination on a console, opening the door. Inside, Grogu uses the Force to throw a pair of stormtroopers around the holding cell. As one of them flies like a ragdoll into a wall, Gideon looks on with a smirk. The other one clutches at his throat. Grogu extends an arm toward each of the troopers, controlling them telekinetically.
Set to stop.
Wait.
Moff Gideon holds up a finger as he watches the child's downy green brow wrinkle in concentration. As he throws his arms apart, the troopers crash into each other and go flying to the walls. Suddenly weakening, Grogu braces himself from keeling over. Gideon smiles and approaches the child.
You've gotten very good with that. But it makes you oh so sleepy.
Grogu's eyes hang heavy.
Have you ever seen one of these?
Gideon extends his darksaber.
From years past.
Grogu reaches out exhaustedly, his tiny hand trembling. Gideon pulls the weapon away from him.
You're not ready to play with such things. Liable to put an eye out for one of these. Looks like you could use a nice, long sleep.
Grogu strains, his arm still extended. Gideon nods to a stormtrooper who shoots the child with a stun shot that knocks him out.
Put it in shackles.
As the troopers obey, he turns to his communications officer.
When we come out of hyperspace, send an encrypted message to Dr. Pershing. Let him know we have got our donor.
Yes, sir.
She steps aside, clearing his path, then falls in step behind him as he exits the holding cell. Our view pulls back from the sleeping child, his little green hands bound in a pair of glowing shackles. Cut to black. Audio description by Deluxe, funded by Disney Plus Originals, voiced by Nicole Zanzarella.